guide you with his eye for his glory and great name's sake. Praise God. If I start now, we'll be here till 9 o'clock. Let me just share something with you. Just break some ground. In the book of John, chapter 3, where we have been ministering from, in addition to that, Ephesians, and I think I might have went over that Sunday as well. We haven't left those things, but we have this certain theme for this year, and that's called Step Into It. And our version of that, TFT's, is really to step into everything that God reveals concerning us, concerning his will being accomplished, not being afraid, not holding back. And, you know, for people who panic and say, you know, that's too much, it's like, no, it's just simply what God expects and wants out of his sons and daughters. Amen? That's all it is. And so stepping into it, it's like if God says to you, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, step into it. What does that mean? Start preaching and proclaiming the gospel wherever you are. God hasn't called you to go to Africa, but you have your own Jerusalem, if you will, right around you. Whether it be a coworker, whether it be a friend, whether it be a family member, whoever it may be, just release the word of God in you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and he's not there just to be babysat. You understand what I mean? He's not there to be idle. He's there because he wants to glorify Jesus and glorify the Father, and he wants to use us. And so if God says, if Jesus says, these signs shall follow those who believe, well, if we believe in Jesus, if we believe in the gospel, then we believe the signs will follow. And so it's like step into it. What is step into it? Step into it is saying, he says, they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. We've said this before, but it's like with the mindset of this is what is expected of me. And it's not so much that it's just expected of me. It's what God wants to do through me. And we all, maybe at one point in time in our lives, in our walking relationship with God, said, Lord, I want whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I just want to do your will. I just want to serve you, Lord. And so you just want to step into the things of God. And so if Jesus says something as simple as you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So somebody comes to you and they talk about their sick situation. Or you have a loved one or a family member who's sick. And so what you do is you just step into it. You just lay hands on it. It's not like, you know, you got to go through all of these qualifications and things like that. It's not like you got to have this supernatural of the Holy Ghost to come upon you in order to do it. It's just faith. I believe what Jesus said. I shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. You know, that's the stepping into it. There's no resistance to this. This is total submission because this is the will of God concerning us as believers. And so when God begins to speak, whether it's just out of teaching or just, you know, a prophetic utterance, it's like step into that. Grab hold of it. Take notes. Write it down, if you will, so that you won't forget it. And then just start walking in it. If it's a direct word that God gives you and you receive it and you believe it's yours, then you just start to walk in that. If God says, I'm opening up a door for you, you step into it. I'm going in through that door, whatever door that is. You know, if God gives you a specific instruction on what door that is and what way to go, then that's what you want to do. You want to just cooperate with God. And again, we're not here to resist God. We're here to submit ourselves to God. We're here to resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. And so whatever God says concerning us, that's what we do. If Jesus says they shall cast out devils, then we cast out devils, if you will. What do we do? What Jesus did, what we see the disciples did, you know, for Peter, them in one instance, it's like they saw within this man, I don't want to confuse it because Paul had a similar experience, but it was like Simon the sorcerer who was using sorcery all throughout Samaria. And the people looked up to him and, you know, almost, I'll just say, kind of like worshiped him. They idolized him because of the sorcery that he was doing. He was deceiving the people. He was like, you know, a modern-day Houdini or somebody like that. There's another guy. I can't remember his name anymore, but it's not a bad thing. Copperfield. Things like that that just wowed the imagination. And mind you, the same thing goes on today. I don't know if it's still happening, but for a while, churches were having magicians come in to entertain the kids. But that's sorcery. That's an abomination in the eyesight of God. It's like, you know, you have Balaam. Balaam could prophesy, but Balaam was a backslidden prophet, but he used divination in his prophesying. In other words, he was consulting other spirits other than God in order to prophesy. But nevertheless, he was prophesying, and obviously he had a rapport because Balak hired him to come and curse the children of Israel. And so people, some of the stuff that we see today, it's in the Word. You know, we look today, and I'll just go ahead and hit this and quit it. Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday prior when we had Sister Latika and Brother Kwame up here and just giving a natural illustration of what's going on. And the following week it got even worse because they really exposed themselves. And then the doctor tries to recant what he said, but he couldn't recant what he said. And then somebody else put something else ugly about that doctor. And so now they're telling him to resign. And then he resigns, and the lieutenant steps in. But there's something with the lieutenant. And so if the lieutenant can't do it, the governor can't do it, then they go to the next person who is the attorney general. And the attorney general, he can't do it because there's some stuff in him too. You know, this wickedness that goes on. But anyways, I'm saying all of that. A lot of stuff that we face today is stuff that's biblical. So you have people that were offering up their kids to Molech, if you will, throwing their kids into the fire and things of that nature. And so the abominations that we see today, they're trying to normalize this thing. They're trying to dull our conscience to make us think that, you know, this is okay. It's acceptable. It's extreme conditions, and doctors are in. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have one doctor or 100 doctors. If they're wrong, all of them are wrong. Amen. And you are able to yourself come up with a conclusion of what's right and what's wrong. And so the illustration with Sister Latika, her being in her like seventh month or so, she's got two more months, I think, is that she's due in March? Yeah, so March is right around the corner. So she's in her eighth month. And, you know, now they're in other states. I think there's 9 more states that are trying to do the same thing, where they're trying to legislate to be able to do the late-term abortions. And so, you know, you got this stuff going on. And these are babies. These are babies. These are babies that can survive out of the womb, if you will. These are babies that God knows. You know, he knew before they were formed in the womb. They're fearfully, intricately made within the womb. And so God knows about this, but they're legalizing it in the sense of establishing laws. And they're trying to make people who think that it's wrong make it seem like the people are wrong. And it's funny. It's stupid, too. It's funny. But you have them saying, and I'm not bashing the political party, but we know where it's coming from, ultimately. But, you know, they try and tell us, well, you know, government shouldn't be involved in this. Then why are you getting involved? Why are you establishing a law? Well, they may do back alley kind of stuff. You know, if that's the extremities, if those are the extremes, and how many cases are there? Or, you know, what about the case of rape? What about incest? And, you know, it's like, how many cases like that do we have, if you will? But the point being is that that's a baby. So, again, the doctor did something even worse. He even explained the procedure. And when he explained the procedure, that put him in a worse light, if you will. And so how many of you paid attention to that? Okay, a few of you have. You know, this is a time where the saints of God really have to get their heads out of the sand and not be afraid to engage the culture, because the culture has gone mad. And the reason they've gone mad is because they've gotten away from God. You get away from God, you'll do anything and everything. And so they will do it thinking that it's okay. But we will say, no, it's wrong. And repentance needs to take place. Change of heart, change of mind. You need to come back to God. If you come to God, you'll see that it's wrong because God is in the light. But if you're in darkness, you see no wrong with the things that you do, the deeds that you, if you will. So, that being said, coming forward to the stepping into the things that God is doing. Now, some of you, you're comfortable on certain platforms. You know, you're comfortable in certain environments, more comfortable in those arenas than you are in the arena of kingdom or the arena of God. There's a certain boldness you might have in certain other areas. You understand what I mean? Like on your job, you may be more confident. You know, you go on your job and you just go to your desk or you go to your place of, you know, whatever you do, and you feel comfortable about it, relaxed about it. You even probably communicate with us and things about that, like that, or things that are dealing with either the job, or you might be interested in sports. I'm not condemning or anything like that. You might be interested in just, you know, what's on television, soap operas or something like that, or even in the current news. And you have a voice in that. You start to talk with confidence. But then when it comes to the things of God, we get timid. And so we hold back and we're reserved. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to push our way on them. We don't want to try. And the thing of it is it's like, enough is enough, and so we have to, this is where the stepping into it, being confident in who we are, being bold in who we are, being courageous in who we are, and sharing the light of the life of Jesus Christ, and speaking to others. I mean, if we believe God, that God is going to bring in the multitudes, if we believe God for revival, we first have to be revived, and we go out and we revive others. Not that we have the power of revival, but we get a chance and opportunity to release it by our speaking, by our living, by our imparting. Yeah. Hallelujah. We can wake this nation up. And you ought to understand how confident your dad is in you at this time and this moment. He's so confident in us that he made sure that we would be alive at this time to face this generation. God is not pumping power and authority, might and dominion, if you will, into a church that's going to be weak and insignificant. He's pumping and releasing into a church that's going to take his word. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, where you will be able to stand. Therefore, having done all to stand, stand. You hear me? And it's like, now I'm stepping into who I am. You know, I used to be timid and weak, but God says I'm strong, or even for me to prophesy and say that I'm strong, or God's not, he's not suggesting for me to be strong. He's commanding. He's like that commanding general. Be strong, you know, if you will, that kind of a thing. Not in a condemning fashion, but it's like, no, it's to impute power. It's to instill confidence. It's to instill faith, boldness, if you will. That's why he speaks in those ways, if you will, to us. God, he doesn't come to condemn us. I've said that time and time again. He's not coming to condemn us. He loves us. He loves us. But he will chasten, or he will correct us, but he loves us. And so what he's saying and releasing to us is like, no, this is what I want for you. Jesus says, my Father is glorified when you bear fruit. Dad said, that's what I want for you. And when you start bearing fruit, Dad starts to prune and purge. Why? He's not trying to hurt. I think I've given that illustration before. I had a plant, and my roommate wanted to quickly summarize it. I had a plant, and it was nice and bushy, and it looked real good. And my roommate wanted to prune it. And I'm like, no, because if you prune it, you're going to hurt it. You're going to kill it. And they're like, no, if you let me prune it, it's going to spread out. And so I'm like, no, no, no. And so I didn't let him prune it. And so all it went straight up. It had its branches, and it was strong, and it looked good. And then, you know, my other roommate, he did things to it. But long story short is, if I would have let him prune, I didn't understand. I thought he was going to hurt it. And a lot of times dad is pruning and purging us, and we think that he's trying to hurt us or that he's using others to try and hurt us. And dad is like, no, I'm working for your good. I'm working to make you more productive, more fruitful. I'm trying to impart to you my spirit, my anointing, my way, my wisdom, my knowledge, everything you need in order to be my representation here in this earth. Yeah. And so step into it. Now, we can go into the category of it, and I'm going to stop. Just give me 1 minute. That it factor is something that many can't necessarily define, but you can recognize. You can see how it just affects others. You know, you can see, like, if it's a company, if you will, and I use the illustration KBT team about Southwest Airlines. They're one of the founders, he's now deceased, but he had a personality about him. He was friendly, and he was happy, and he wanted his employees to be the same way. And so what he would do is he would instill that in them. And so no matter what flight I flew on personally, that I recognize it, all the employees, the attendants and all, even the captains that were flying the planes and all the pilots, if you will, all of them had this nice personality about them. All of them were happy. They were jovial. They would joke with you and things like that. They would accommodate you and all. And, you know, it was just good service, and the price was very reasonable, and they always gave you peanuts. And so I liked the peanuts so much that one flight I was on, I said, I want some peanuts. I want some peanuts, dot, dot, dot. And one of the flight attendants brought me a big bag of the peanuts and gave them to me. Don't you? I took them too, praise God. Yeah. You know, the big plastic bag, whole bunch of those peanuts. I took those things because I like the peanuts. But anyways, that was just the way they were. But it came from management all the way down. And so you could see it. You could see it in him, and then you could see it in all of their employees as well. Now, I don't know if the culture has changed or not, but, you know, even when I do fly Southwest, they're still kind of friendly, and if you will, you know, in this day and time. But it was at a time when they were first getting off the ground and all. Moving fast forward, if we all get more excited about our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father first, because that's where it begins, and we all possess the same Holy Ghost, if we do what Dad says, step into it, what is that? Fall in love with Him. That's the first commandment. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, if you will. Okay? And we start deepening our relationship with Him. It's going to make the difference in everything that we do from there. We've been talking about the Spirit of God. And again, I went to John chapter 3, verse 8, where Jesus talked about the Spirit goes where it listed. And then it uses the term it, to meaning the wind blows, I should say, but you could substitute wind for spirit because they both have the same Greek meaning, pneuma, which is spirit or breath or wind, if you will. And so the spirit is like the wind, and they of the spirit or are born of the spirit are like the wind. Can't tell where they've come from or where they're going. Only ones who can really recognize the spirit are those who are born of the spirit. Born again. There's a commonality about us. There's a distinction about us that separates us from the world. It's not all about work. It's the new life that's on the inside of us. And that, for the church, is what I would call the step into it. When you get home, or, you know, whenever you next time you pick up your Bible, to you like that, make it palatable, easier. Read, I believe it's Isaiah 61. Which one opens up with the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me? Isaiah 61, and then also read Luke chapter 4, verse 18. See what Isaiah prophesied. See what Jesus said when he confirmed that word, that that was concerning him. But it didn't just stop with him. It comes to us. And then we start to see this common thread as we look at the disciples that were around Jesus, because we know Jesus had it, if you will, if just for sake of using that. And we know that his disciples that were around him had it. Even Judas had it, but Judas was the son of perdition, so he went to his place. And then from the disciples, we can go to the deacons that they chose, the seven deacons. They had it. And then from them to the disciples that were around them that were scattered all over the place, they had it. Way up to the point to where we are as a church, that we have it. It's not something that God did temporarily, because it's something that has to go on until Jesus calls us home. We see, I'll just throw some names out there, and you heard me mention these names before. We can throw out Smithworth. We can throw out Amy Simple McPherson. We can throw out Howard Carter. We can throw out William Joseph Seymour. We can throw out John G. Lake. We can throw out Catherine Kuhlman. We can throw out Mariah Whitworth Etter. We can throw out, there's some other names as well. I can see the face, but his name is not coming to me right. But there were others as well that had it on them, and they went about and did great works. But the stepping into it is the things that God has called us to do as believers. The thing about them was they believed, and they didn't settle until they got what it was they believed in. They saw what they read in Scripture, and they said, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he did then, he will do now. And he did it in their generation, and he will do it in our generation. Amen. If we stop putting other things in the way and let God have his way, find everything come into divine alignment, and we'll see. And I'm telling you, when we're operating in the power and authority of God, because there's nothing like it when you can lay hands on people and see them get healed, or you can cast out a devil and the devil leaves. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it's progressive, if you will, but it's not unbiblical or unscriptural. It happened in where some didn't get healed. It happened in Scripture where some, you know, they couldn't cast the devil out, if you will. But it didn't stop them. They continued. And that's the thing. You continue and you grow in this, and you mature in this, and then you leave something for the next generation to step into. Amen. So we'll be breaking it out and continue to move on in this year. It's not just a slogan. It is a theme, if you will, but it's also requiring an act of faith to really just start doing it, step into it. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you. Thanks, night. Thank you for this time together. Pray for your sons and daughters who are here tonight. Strengthen them as they lay down tonight and they rest in you. May they rest in your presence. And may you revive them when they wake up, so that they wake up fresh and renewed and ready to run and ready to go and ready to glorify your name. Father, put your word in their mouth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let your anointing be on them. And Lord God, may they go forth and glorify you in everything that they do in word and in deed. May they live a life that is above reproach and glorify you in all that they do. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may truly bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. Give each other a high five. Thank you for tuning in. Facebook, we love you. Ustream, we love you. We'll see you next time. Amen.